Imagine that China passed a law that said, if you are a foreigner coming into our country, we have the right to examine your social media over the past 5 years. And if we find anything that we don't agree with, we are now not going to allow you into our country. This is what China's like. Everyone would be like, look at this. This is a massive, oppression from the communist state. This is China, just exercising this authoritarian, power over people. Oh, wait, sorry. That was the United States. Oh, sorry. That was the Donald Trump administration that passed that law.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and I'm joined today by someone whose work I have admired for quite some time, but I've never had him on the show before. So we reached out to Cyrus Jansen to have him on the show, and he lived in China for a number of years, and he's an outstanding analyst and a journalist, and he's doing a lot of exciting reporting about some of the big changes that are happening in the world. He's got a YouTube channel. We'll talk about that coming up, but welcome to the show, Mr. Jansen. It's an honor to have you on today.
Mike, thank you so much for reaching out. Big fan of your work as well. And we've been connected on X for a long time, but first time to chat with each other here in the studio. So thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I got to say, I'm a little bit jealous of, you visit China on a regular basis. I understand you get to tour the factories there. I would love to be able to do that. I want to see their robot factories and their car factories and everything. What's that like when you're actually there seeing the level of innovation and automation? Give us a hint.
I think it's very hard for a lot of Westerners to really understand it when they first arrive in China. And I'm going to take it back actually one step, the other direction. Instead of talking about how innovative and how amazing these factories are, I think actually when you just get off the plane and you start walking around China, you start seeing the infrastructure that's being built there, as far as the airports, the subway systems, how clean the streets are, how efficient the metro systems are running. So really at your most basic level of function for a society and how these cities function, it's really quite something astonishing, I think, for a lot of Westerners to experience. So, we know that they're leading in terms of innovation and in terms of technology. And when you do get a chance to go to these factories, it is very impressive to see what they're able to produce. But again, not everybody gets access to those factories. What's great, though, is that, just from the actual personal experience that you can have on the ground, seeing the infrastructure in place, that's probably what's most amazing about China. And it's just continues to get better and better. And that's obviously had a huge impact on the lives of hundreds of millions of people, that obviously live in China and that use those systems. But it's also just really makes a lot of Westerners think, wow, I mean, how can China be so advanced? How can they just have all of these things? It really surprises a lot of Westerners.
Which cities do you mostly visit? So we can kind of put some context to what you're talking
sure.
about.
Sure. So, I used to live in Shanghai for about 7 years. I was in Hong Kong for 3 years as well. My wife is originally from Guangzhou. So we have a small apartment there that we go back to every summer with our children. Primarily now we base in Guangzhou. I frequently go back to Beijing, out to Chongqing as well. I travel quite a lot when I'm in China because A, it's very convenient. And then two, I just really want to start seeing, all of these different regions of China because, China, I always like to sell this to my listeners. I always say China is more similar to a continent than it is a country. And what I mean by that is that these cities are so unique and so diverse. Also, another fun fact about China, there's over 300 languages spoken in China. So we always think of, like, for example, Mandarin Chinese, which is the dialect from Beijing. Of course, that's the national language. But, there's a tremendous amount of diversity within China. So, what's happening in Beijing, very different than what's happening out west in, Chongqing, very different from Shanghai, from Guangzhou. You go to Hainan Island in the south. I mean, these are so many different regions, different cultures, different food, different languages. So it's always fun to kind of explore within China. You could spend a lifetime there and it wouldn't be enough because it's just so uniquely diverse. And that's why I think I always like to say that, China is so diverse, it's almost like a continent as opposed to a single country.
That's really interesting that you say that. And that's so true. I lived in Taiwan for a couple of years. And of course, they speak Taiwanese or Taiyu that is known there, which I don't understand a word of Taiyu. Right. But that's sort of like the older ladies would speak that on the street and while they're, haggling. But I understand, there's like Hokkien, and I don't know how to say everything. But in Hong Kong, of course, completely different dialect or spoken dialect. Oh, we lost you there, Cyrus. Okay, you're back. But I'm glad you mentioned that because it's a very different experience than traveling across the United States. Now, help my audience understand this. Most Americans, of course, have never visited Asia, no part of Asia. And when they think about China today, what's in their minds typically, and I think this is reinforced by Western media, is of like a vision of China from the 1970s or something.
Correct.
That's it's like a third world country. Everybody's just riding bicycles around everywhere, and they don't have any tech, you know. But that's the vision people have. So help us understand why that's not reflective of where China is today, even though it's commonly held belief.
Yeah, I think a lot of people. Yeah, it is quite crazy. And I think, you know, this was kind of an interesting thing. I like to tell the story of when I first got a job offer to go to China. This was back in 2007. So this is almost 20 years ago. I just graduated university. And I remember my parents threw a party for me, because it was Cyrus going away. You know, I mean, he's going to be moving to another country, starting his career, kind of living his own life, doing his thing. And I never forget, so they asked me, my friends at the party and, you know, some of our relatives were like, is your apartment in Shanghai, does it have electricity? You know, are you going to be able to, you know, I'm thinking, look at the skyscrapers in Shanghai. I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, you can't build a skyscraper and not have electricity in it, you know, obviously. And, even to kind of further compound that, the next question I got was even funnier because one of the guys said, hey, so, how are you going to get there? Are you going to take a plane or are you going to drive there? And I said, oh,
really?
Yeah. I said, I'm going to take a flight. Cause you know, there's a huge ocean between the United States and China. Traveling by car is not an option, but I'm just being genuine. That was two legitimate questions I had from fellow Americans that I tell that story because it just kind of tells you how little we can even begin to comprehend, how a lot of Americans really don't understand. And I think, you know, it's amazing how people still think of China as a third world country, that it's so far behind. It doesn't have, you know, what we have here in the United States. And I think actually when you go there, like I'd mentioned earlier, you know, you start looking at the infrastructure, what they've been able to build there. Honestly, I mean, it blows anything out of the water what we have here in the United States as far as infrastructure. China in the last 20 years has built over 45,000 kilometers of high-speed rail. It's quite amazing as well, because when China embarked on that journey, a lot of people said, you know, you can't build a high-speed rail network in a country as big as China, right? You look where high-speed rail is actually at, you know, it's in Japan. Japan's, you know, relatively small country, you know, in terms of, you know, land size. You know, you can build a high-speed rail there. Korea, another small country, certainly in Europe, you know, all these countries are very small and they're all connected together. So you could build some high-speed rail there, but China's just too vast. It's too vast, it's too big, it's just never gonna happen. But they were able to do that. They had the vision in order to do that. And the Chinese government's goal was to connect every single city with a population of at least 500,000 people to this massive network of high-speed rail. That way that everybody's connected, you know, so everybody right. can be connected and you're able to, you know, be able to, you know, travel around the country at an affordable price. Obviously it increases, economics, you know, when you're looking at doing business across cities, you can jump on a high-speed rail in Shanghai and you can be in the center of Beijing within 4.5 hours. And you're riding you're riding 350, 400 kilometers an hour, you know, through the beautiful countryside of China and bam, now all of a sudden, you know, before wow. dinner time, you're now in Beijing, you know, and that's, you know, transformed how business is being done in the country, but also how goods are moved and how business is being done in China. So yeah, I think that, again, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, you know, we've all seen now, especially in the last 2 years, a lot of videos on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube where people are, hey, I'm an American living in Shanghai, or I'm an American living in China. And so people are, I think that soft culture is starting to actually change a lot. I think China is actually getting a lot of wins right now in 2026, and their global image is changing quite a lot over the last 18 months, I would say.
That's really interesting how the internet and sharing videos is actually making the world smaller, bringing people together conceptually.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I want to back up too, because for many years I was very critical of China. Mm. And also because when I lived in Taiwan, there was much more fierce opposition from the DPP in Taiwan about unification. That's changed dramatically since then, of course, with the recent visit of the leader of the Kuomintang visiting President Xi in China and talking about the importance of a peaceful unification. But I was very critical of China for a long time because I bought into the narratives of the West that, oh, it's communist China. They're all communists and they don't believe in free markets. And then I found out, Cyrus, and I'd love your response to that. I found out that we don't have free markets in America either. We have the government picking winners and losers, and mostly everybody's losers. And we don't have infrastructure. Our railroads are a throwback to the 1970s. Our bridges are falling down. Our roads are filled with potholes. And we build bombs, not infrastructure. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, what good is a free market system when we're just building bombs and handing them out to Israel or Ukraine and right, leaving the American people behind? That's my take. What do you say to that?
Oh, I think you're spot on a lot of things you just mentioned, Mike. I mean, the thing is that, you know, when we look at free market, for example, you know, capitalism, free market, I mean, you know, for example, that means that we should allow the best companies at the best prices to compete, but yet we ban all of China's products, you know, that, you know, whether it's Huawei, which is, you know, a fantastic tech company, from coming into the market, or whether it's Chinese electric vehicles, you know, coming into the US market. You know, we ban them for the specific reason that they're better products and they're at a better price point. And so, for example, if you look at the auto industry, you know, Ford executives, GM, you know, all of these American car companies are saying, look, there's no way we can allow these guys to come into the market because they would absolutely eat our lunch. And let's be honest with you, it would happen, because for American consumers, they want the best quality product at the best prices. That's absolutely hands down the truth of the situation. The American consumers do not care where the product comes from. That, you know, Americans are not going to not buy a Chinese EV because it's from China. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're able to get a very high quality vehicle, you know, if you're able to get a high quality vehicle at a very good price point, they absolutely would buy that, because at the end of the day, it comes down to economics. You know, if I get a great EV car for $15,000, why would I spend 3 to 4 times more to get an American equivalent? It's just not going to happen. And so I think, you know, when we see this, you know, this free market and, you know, things like that, I mean, another thing is interesting. You look at Spirit Airlines that was in the headlines this week, going bankrupt. U.S. government's going to bail them out. You know, they're going to take control of that. And so you have kind of a interesting idea where, you know, almost like this socialist element. They're like, hey, we need to buy this. We need to bail them out. We need to, you know, control this because it's an airline. But, you know, in a free market, you know, they would just die. You know, I mean, you aren't profitable. You ran out of money, like, you're out. But of course, the United States government needs Spirit Airlines to run, because our country runs on airplanes. You know, we have to have these airlines. You know, similar thing in COVID. You know, I mean, you saw during COVID, all of these airlines were losing tons of money. I mean, there's no way Delta or American Airlines, United, none of these companies can go out of business, because they're absolutely crucial to the United States economy. They're going to get whatever bailout they ever need from the U.S. government. And so,
right. You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're exactly right. And what you're describing actually is the slide into America's centrally planned economy, which
right,
is economic communism in the United States. So where Ford, like you mentioned, I completely agree with you. Ford cannot compete, not even close, with China. Yeah. And ultimately, either you have to block, you know, the U.S. government has to block the imports of Chinese vehicles, which harms the lifestyles of American consumers and the quality mm-hmm. of life, because the Chinese EVs are better quality and lower cost, clearly. All the battery technology in the world is innovated yeah. out of CATL and BYD, et cetera. But the U.S. government will have to subsidize Ford to keep Ford in business, or they have right. to subsidize ultimately the AI companies like OpenAI to keep OpenAI in business, because it can't compete with DeepSeek or Alibaba, Quinn, whatever. So we end up with a communist economy in America.
Right.
Centrally planned, the government decides who to bail out and who to keep in business, and then forces the consumers to buy these crappy, low-grade, overpriced products from government-subsidized companies like Ford. That's where right. it's going.
Right, right. No, 100%, 100%. And I think you know, the big thing in America here, Mike, is, you know, people fear the word communism. You know, they constantly think that, you know, that all of these Chinese are communists, that, you know, communism is evil. You know, if you know anything about China and Chinese people, you know, they are very opportunistic. You know, they're always looking for opportunity. Chinese people want to do business with the United States. Chinese companies want to come to America. You know, there's a tremendous amount of synergy between the Chinese and American economies. And so, you know, again, I think China has a really good approach to this, I feel, because they say, look, you know, we're not going to try to change your political system in America. You know, you do you, we're going to do us. You know, we like the way that we have our government. Our government is Chinese with, you know, it's called socialism with Chinese characteristics. It is not a pure, you know, communist formula. I think for an easy way to understand this, many Americans think of China as North Korea. You know, they think that these two are the same. And it couldn't be more different. You know, you look at the freedoms that Chinese people now have, you know, the ability to invest in stock markets, you know, to be able to buy and sell real estate, to invest, you know, to basically start companies, to, you know, turn profits, to, you know, I mean, China has a tremendous amount of billionaires in the country. You know, they fully embrace capitalism and the opportunity to make money. So, I mean, this has been a huge shift in China. And again, you know, Chinese are looking for opportunities. And so I think that's the biggest thing I want people to understand is that, you know, when you're living in mainland China, you know, the government does not play a very large role in your life day to day. You know, I mean, when you're going to a restaurant, you don't hear people talking about, oh, did you hear what the party said today? Oh, did you hear about the government? But yet it dominates our life here in the United States, right? I mean, you can't go a day in the United States without hearing constantly about Donald Trump and then what the Democrats did. And then, you know, gosh sakes, you know, once an election comes up, you know, for 18 months leading up to the election, it just dominates the news cycle. It consumes your life. You're getting bombarded with flyers in the mail, text on your phone, vote, you know, and it's just, you know, it really consumes so much of it to the point where most Americans are like, I'm so sick and tired of this election nonsense. Like once it's done, I just want to, you know, turn off my phone. You know, people in China, they don't talk about it, you know, because it's just like, yeah, we know the government's there. They're doing their thing. We're going to go about our lives, living normal lives. You know, we're going to be working hard in our career, you know, spending time with our family, going on a holiday. You know, it's a very normal life, you know, for most people. And so I think I just want people to understand that China is a lot more normal than you would probably think. And that's one of the top questions I get. What's it like living in a communist country, you know, like China? And I was like, you know, people, are there soldiers on every street corner with rifles, you know, making sure you don't jaywalk? No, not at all. It's you know, it's completely open. But yet that's just what we kind of have in our image, you know, very similar to North Korea. You know, if you're in North Korea, yeah, you don't have a lot of freedoms. You're locked down. I mean, look at how tourists go there. You have a dedicated tour guide. You're allowed to see A, B, and C. This is where you're going. This is what you're doing. Thank you very much. Take a picture. Now you go home. And, you know, as we know, North Koreans have absolutely no freedom. You know, they can't travel. They can't invest. They can't, you know, they're locked in there. They have no idea what's going on outside in the outside world. Whereas Chinese know everything that's going on outside in the outside world.
They have to because they're involved in trade with the whole world, imports, exports, manufacturing. But I'm really glad you already described some of what I wanted to ask you. I want to ask you, do you feel suppressed? Do you feel oppressed by the Chinese government when you're there? And let me just add something, because in America, the US Congress, even under GOP control, just passed a law that every vehicle sold in America beginning in 2027 has to spy on you as the driver. And it will watch you, it will track your biometrics, and it will decide using American AI whether you are fit to drive. Mm. Well, that, you know, for people who say, well, you're not free in China, well, buy an American car in 2027. You're not free in America either. You're being monitored and tracked before you're even allowed to drive the car that you purchased. That sounds like communism in the American car industry to me.
But, it definitely does.
I mean, but do you feel oppressed in China?
Well, I'm going to give you a really interesting story here, Mike. So, you know, I'm a United States citizen. So when I go to China in the summer, like I'm going to next month, we're about 3 weeks away from flying to China, I will be entering China as a, you know, visitor. I mean, I'm a visitor. I'm a United States citizen going to China for a couple of months, you know, with my family. All of us are foreigners. We're all five of us in our family are foreigners, you know, by our passports. Now, the interesting thing is that imagine that China passed a law that said, if you are a foreigner coming into our country, we have the right to examine your social media over the past 5 years. And if we find anything that we don't agree with, we are now not going to allow you into our country. Now, would you consider that being oppressed? Would you consider that being, you know, a little bit of an overreach from a government?
Yeah, probably. I know where you're going with this. Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Right. Yep. Well, that's exactly what the Trump administration has done. Okay, yes. So now that's the key thing here. So when I go to China, China does not observe my social media. They do not look at my emails. They do not look at any of my information and deem if I am, you know, if I'm acceptable to that society. I can enter in with a Chinese visa, you know, simply go into China, no problem. But that the opposite cannot be said true about America. Right now, if you're a foreigner entering into this country, you know, under the Trump administration, they have the right to look at your last 5 years of any social media posts and can deny you entry based on that. So, you know, if you've sent out a tweet, you know, a negative tweet about Donald Trump, you know, you could potentially be banned from coming into the United States. Now, I've certainly sent out tweets about that, but I guess I'm okay because I'm a United States citizen. We'll see. But I mean, this is kind of, you know, it's an interesting one, because if I were to change the words and say, this is what China's like, everyone would be like, look at this. This is a massive, you know, oppression from the communist state. You know, this is China, you know, just exercising this authoritarian, you know, power over people. Oh, wait, sorry. That was the United States. I'm sorry. That was Donald Trump administration that passed that law that is now, you know, governing inside the United States. So, you know, it's, you know, honestly, that's the big takeaway I want people to see. And this is what, you know, it is that your life in China is very normal. You know, people are going about their days. There's a lot of happiness in China. You know, people always say, what's one thing you want the world to know about China? It's incredibly normal. You know, the Chinese people want the same thing that you and I want, Mike. You know, we want our families to be well. We, you know, hopefully our careers can advance. We can make some money. We can save some money. You know, we'd like to retire at one stage. We'd like our children to live a better life than we did. Hopefully they get into a good school. Maybe they find a good passion. Hopefully they find a good, you know, spouse that they can marry, you know, and, you know, that's what, it's no different in China. You know, you can go in China right now, there's people sitting at a coffee shop talking about the movie they saw last night at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on their favorite social media platforms, interacting, you know, sharing their content, travel vlogging, all of this. And so that's the fun thing, I think. And kind of a really interesting thing, I'll kind of end this segment, is just saying, you know, over the last 2 years, we've seen the Chinese government open up visa-free for so many countries. There's about 65 countries around the world that are now visa-free to China. It's honestly the best decision that the Chinese government's ever made, because China is always a curious country to many people. So as soon as they open up, for example, if you've got a European Union passport, you can go to China visa-free for 30 days. So Europeans have been pouring into China because they can simply just book a flight and go now, as opposed to waiting to get a visa that would sometimes take, you know, 1 or 2 months to get, you know, a lot of steps, you know, money to pay. Now there's no barrier to entry. I can just book a flight like I can anywhere else and just jump and arrive and go spend a week or two there and go see it and go check it out. And so this is honestly the best PR campaign that China's ever launched, because now in 2026, China is on track to become the largest tourist economy in the entire world. Hmm. And actually, this is remarkable considering that the United States is actually hosting the FIFA World Cup, the biggest sporting event in the world.
Right.
But yet, you know, we're actually not getting a lot of international visitors right now because of the chaos that's been unleashed inside the United States. We have FIFA canceling thousands upon thousands of hotel rooms because guess what? People aren't coming to these games. And they said, okay, you know what? We're going to release those hotel blocks before, you know, we get penalized, you know, for the cancellation. So, I mean, this is what's happening right now. You know, this is the reality of the situation.
I think it was the Trump administration that said anyone who has criticized Israel won't be allowed to attend the games in the United States, because that's where the Trump administration's censorship is focused now, on controlling any kind of speech regarding Israel. But let me give out your website here. You're, I think, best known for your YouTube channel. It's Cyrus Janssen. That's Janssen. Cyrus Janssen on YouTube. And Cyrus, what do you want to tell us about your channel and what you cover? And are there any other websites or places that you post?
You know, I do have a Substack that we post as well. You can just always just look up my name. Cyrus Janssen is the easiest, but YouTube's our primary vehicle that we use to get out information. I do live streams, you know, a few times a week. You know, we do deep dive videos into all things geopolitics. So this channel started about 5 years ago, and it started on as really talking about China. You know, that's where a lot of my experience come from. So you can actually see a speech that I did in Mandarin Chinese. That's the home video there on the home screen. But what I've been able to do is, you know, we've been very blessed over the last few years. We've grown into one of the, you know, fastest growing geopolitical, you know, YouTube channels. We're now talking about all things geopolitics, whether it's the Iran war, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, you know, certainly United States, China, which remains a key focus of the channel. But, you know, we do a lot of deep dive videos into all things geopolitics. And, you know, I'm excited because I am going back to China for a few months this summer. So you're going to start seeing a lot more vlogs on the street of me in China. You know, those factory visits that you mentioned, things like that. You know, we're going to be kind of showing you a different side of China that, again, mainstream media will not show you. But we want to be on the ground showing you the truth so that you can make the best informed decisions about the world that we live in.
Well, that is very cool. I'm so glad you're doing that. And by the way, if you run into any companies there that want to demo their tech products to an American audience, put me in touch with them, because we're willing to purchase products. We have a 5,000 square foot facility here in the studio that we set up to demo robots coming up.
Nice.
So we are trying to acquire robots, and we've reached out to a lot of Chinese companies, and so far, okay, Nobody's, you know, said they're ready to ship us a robot yet.
Okay, I'll definitely keep that in mind, Mike. See if I can help you out with that.
We want to acquire products and demo them. And also, as we're wrapping up this segment of the interview, I just want to mention, I would imagine that, you know, your spoken Chinese must be very, very good. Mine is just so conversational, but I still practice it though today, even when I'm exercising. I try to keep up with vocabulary.
Nice.
But isn't it amazing? I don't know if this is still the case, but you tell me, are people in China still astonished to see a white Goren, you know, white person from America who can speak Chinese? Is that still amazing, or is that more common now that it's not such a big deal?
Well, I think if you go to the bigger cities like the Beijing, Shanghai, it's a little bit more common, you know, because there are a lot of foreigners that have lived there for a long time that speak Chinese. But certainly when you start traveling on the countryside, or you go off the beaten path, or you're riding that high speed rail and meeting some, you know, potentially some people from smaller cities in China. Yeah, they absolutely are amazed. And, you know, and I think what's fun, you know, living in China for over 10 years myself, is that, you know, China is a very welcoming country. You know, a lot of people always ask me this question, you know, what's it like being an American in China? And incredibly, whenever you're a foreigner in China, the first question you always get, oh, 你是哪里人的? You know, where are you from? You know, what kind of person are you? You know, what's your nationality? You know, it's like, well, 美国, you know, 美国 means, you know, 美国 is America, but the actual words actually means beautiful country when you directly translate that.
Right.
So, you know, Chinese people have always had a very positive image of America. You know, they always look at the United States as literally a beautiful country. And every time you say, oh, 我是美国人, you know, I'm American, they always say, oh, 美国很好,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, America's great, you know, and so they always say that. It's kind of funny too, because sometimes they'll follow that saying, you know, like, you know, I like your country, I like your people, I'm not a huge fan of your government. And I say, don't worry about it. Most Americans aren't afraid of, we're not a big fan of our own government either, you know, and I always kind of share that joke with them. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I've never been treated with anything but respect as an American. If anything, I've been treated with more respect because I'm American. And I had an interesting thing where my last visit, where the guy's like, oh, you're from America? Thanks for coming to China. Thanks for coming and being here and seeing, you know, coming to see it for yourself, you know, kind of seeing it and experiencing it yourself. Because, you know, I know a lot of Americans don't go to China. You know, a lot of people think, oh man, I'm an American, I'm going to go to China, I'm going to get arrested and spend the rest of my life in jail. No, you won't. I mean, unless you're planning to do something illegal and literally, you know, disobey the law. You know, if you start, you know, importing narcotics, you definitely will be put in jail. But yeah, but I mean, if you go to have a holiday or just to go experience it and just go interact with the locals, you're going to have nothing but a phenomenal time.
Well, I can
guarantee that.
I feel more welcomed and safer in Taiwan or Hong Kong than I would feel in East St. Louis or East LA or Chicago. Oh. I mean, it's not even close. In fact, one of the people that I knew in Taiwan, his name is Bruce. He spoke just absolutely fluent Mandarin. He's a linguist. Mm-hmm. He left America because he got mugged in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then he moved to Taiwan and had a great life, you know. And I've always felt welcome in Asia, in the different countries I've visited, even, you know, Malaysia, Singapore, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. So, generally speaking, I mean, throughout Asia, the level of safety is very high, no matter where you are in Asia. It's always, you know, very good. And kind of an interesting one as well. I mean, we are in the United States right now. I mean, we're obviously very concerned with the safety of our children. You know, for example, we would not let them walk by themselves in a shopping mall in the United States. It's just too dangerous. You would never let your child do that. However, in China, we do. You know, we can be at a restaurant and my 10-year-old daughter says, oh, you know, I'll say, hey, you know what? Hey, honey, I just ordered a cup of coffee at that shop across the way. Can you go pick that up for daddy? And she's kind of like, you mean by myself? I'm like, yeah, you can go by yourself. We're in China. No problem. I mean, no one's going to bother you here. Like you're completely safe. So for her, she's like, she thinks it's the coolest thing ever. Cause she's like, wow. And I'm in China. Like I can go get dad a cup of coffee. I can, you know, and then she comes back and like, do you guys need anything else I can get for you guys? Cause she's so excited to have that little bit of freedom, you know, just to be able to walk around by herself in the shopping mall. We know that she's completely safe there. There's nothing that's going to happen to her. And that's kind of a unique freedom that is there. And again, I always like to say that freedom means different things to different people. Safety is a huge part of the Chinese culture. You know, they value that, they treasure that, they, you know, and it is an extremely safe society. That I agree. You know, I mean, I live there, and it's absolutely, you know, puts your heart at peace knowing that, you know, there's no gun violence, there's no, homicides on the street, you know, things like this, this just doesn't exist in China. So you can live a very good life. You know, you can be out at 2 a.m. in a city of 25 million people, you know, wearing a fancy watch and having a bunch of cash in your pocket, and no one's gonna bother you. You know, you wouldn't want to do that in Chicago or LA or New York, right? You know, you're going to be very mindful of where you are and what you're doing, and, you know, certainly try to get a taxi and jump in that taxi as soon as possible.
It's
just different.
It's so dangerous in America that, you know, myself and others, we always carry guns. I mean, I'm a Texan, but it's because of circumstance, because of the things you mentioned, because there is so much crime in America, and there's so much drug addiction, and there's so much looting and robbery and muggings that you're really forced to carry a firearm. Whereas if we had the level of just civility that you just described, a lot of people would say, well, I don't have that need anymore, you know, to carry that firearm. Even though, of course, in America, we have the right. I'm always going to carry a gun in America.
Right.
But I wouldn't feel vulnerable walking around China without a gun, you know?
Correct.
Right. Right. I wouldn't think, where's my gun? Oh, I left my Glock back in Meguo, you know? No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, totally. Cyrus, we're going to wrap up. This is part one of our interview. Stay with us here. We're going to do another segment with you talking about AI technology and DeepSeek and Alibaba and so much more. So folks, be sure to follow Cyrus Jansen on his YouTube channel. And you can just find it by searching for his name, Cyrus Jansen, J-A-N-S-S-E-N. He's definitely worth following. And I, in particular, look forward to his upcoming videos touring some of the factories and automation facilities in mainland China. That's going to be awesome. And also, if you want to catch part two of this interview, you can find it at brightvideos.com, which is a site that I built using AI vibe coding, by the way. So check it out. And thanks for watching today. I'm Mike Adams here of brightvideos.com. Take care. On this year's Mother's Day, celebrate mom. And we've helped you do that with some amazing specials and some gifts and some really interesting new products, all available from healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. So just type that into your browser URL, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. It will take you to this page right here. It begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and runs through May the 4th at 11 a.m. And here's what you can do. First of all, when you purchase $129 or more, you're going to get this free gift of our 5G defense. This is a really potent, amazing product, high density. You want to stock up on that because of how it helps your body naturally respond to peroxynitrite production. You can do some research on that. And if you spend $199 or more, then you also get this organic pumpkin spice oat latte, which is, that's a fan favorite. This is really amazing. It's kind of like, people think of it as almost like a clean organic eggnog type of mix. But of course, with everything real, everything high density nutrition, certified organic and laboratory tested. In addition to that, we have several products back in stock. We've got our tart cherry probiotics, our brown flax seed, and our ginger immune support. These are stick packs that can be mixed with water or other beverages to make delicious drinks. And then we've got doorbusters, just limited quantities of these that are available. We've got our, for example, our Hydrate Elementals with organic coconut water and Aquamin. That's very popular, especially if you're active, you know, for athletes or anybody working out. Organic Lucuma powder, our organic butter powder that has also been recently tested for dioxins, in addition to the other things we test. We've got our very delicious creamy tomato instant soup. People love that. And plus other products here, freeze-dried mangoes like candy. Everybody loves that. We've got the clean chlorella powder, an extra 40% off right now. These are pretty amazing prices. And then we have a new line of our essential oil blends called Vital Guard. And I'm going to talk about these separately, but it's amazing. The spray, if you spray it on your pillow before you go to sleep at night, you're going to feel like you're in a luxury resort. You know, the blend of oils here is historical. It's even, you know, biblical oils that are known and have a reputation of offering protective properties. It's really amazing. It's called Vital Guard. That's brand new from our store. You're going to love those blends. I love them myself. Then we have exclusive offers from our third-party vendors, including water filter companies. We've got the seed kits here that are very popular right now from ARC. Good time to start planting food in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, because of what's happening with fertilizer, etc. We've got our Elk Antler Velvet Gold from the from Daniel Vitalis, his company. The saunas, you know, so much more. Check all these products out. Again, just go to healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day to see all of these third-party vendor products. Here's the Triad Air, and there's the Big Berkey Stainless Steel, the TerraQuant Portable Cold Laser, etc. And then on top of that, we've got some, depending on the day, we've got some special collections that are hand-selected for you. The first day being beauty and self-care and glow essentials right here. A lot of those available, including our collagen. And here's the Colloidal Silver Mouthwash. I use this every morning. It's really wonderful. Tooth salt and so on. There's so much more. I can't go through it all. I'm only halfway down the page. So we have a lot of specials, some free gifts, and then some offers from our third-party vendors that will really save you a bundle. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. And remember that it begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and it goes through May 4th at 11 a.m. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And I hope that you take advantage of this, given the way prices are going right now with supply chains and, you know, the fertilizer shortage and the energy shortage. Prices will never have these this low again, probably on any of these products. That's our world, folks. That's our world. So thank you for supporting us and happy Mother's Day. And we hope you enjoy these ultra clean, lab tested, beneficial products. Thanks for your support. Happy Mother's Day. Take care.